Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This show's a daily contest to see who's dumber.
You ain't got no class like me, man. I'm an aristocrat.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
They're not like us. They're not like us. They're not like us.
This isn't the Oprah Winfrey Show. My feelings don't matter.
Mark Hockman.
I have this fantasy of becoming obese and bedridden and having people bring me food.
What's your favorite pasta? The gabagool?
Channing Crowder.
I just got an insufficient funds text. I might not be able to buy no beer tonight. I lost my virginity watching Bill dance.
Google me, bro.
Alejandro Solana.
So Billy the Marlin isn't a bird? I'm basically a professional kayaker.
Sports.
I used to hang out with Chris Volstead.
Okay.
I would just like to confirm I am wearing underwear today.
You know what else is great all the time, doesn't matter what the scenario? Bagpipes.
Finish your damn string cheese.
Chimichurri.
More sports.
Come on, repeat after me.
Here comes the Blackfoot.
The most sports.
Jimmy, you've never had an injury?
No, I stretch.
The Hockman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
What a gutsy performance by Tua yesterday. Kept the team within one score on the road against a very good Houston team, a depleted offensive line. Gutsy performance by Tua. And that's what you need out of your guy. You wish the guys around him could have stepped up a little bit, but what a gutsy performance by Tua. They're within a score at the end of the game. They just need a score and a two-point conversion.
Fella was garbage. What are you talking about? He was looking for DJ Stingley every play. Like, stop throwing it over by him. Leave him alone. That was terrible, man.
I got fooled again heading into this week. I said I was going to get fooled again. And by the way, I'll get fooled again. As long as this hamster wheel is in action, I will continue to get fooled week by week.
He's going to bounce back. 49ers game, he's taking off.
They're going to go 3-0 the remaining games this season, and I am going to maintain that you do not make a single change going into next year because I will have that memory of those three games. I have the memory of a goldfish.
Just move on forward. If I've been hungry for 5 minutes, I've been hungry my whole life.
But let me give you a little context, though, before we do the Tua thing and the whatever. Marcel Louis Jacques, who covers the Dolphins for ESPN, points out on Twitter, career high 4 turnovers today for Tua Tagovailoa. This was his second multi-interception game of the season, the first since week 2. Mm-hmm. The Texans gave the Dolphins every opportunity to win this game. Miami's offense turned in a dud. All I would say is this, to give it a little context. That's a career worst game for Tua. Mm-hmm. Everyone is going to have a career worst game at some point. And so as much as everyone's going to accuse me of doing recency praises, you all are going to do the exact same thing because it's one day removed from his absolute worst performance. It's one day removed. So you guys are going to do it, and I've got no leg to stand on because that's the most recent game. All I'm telling you is everything that you're going to accuse me of doing with Tua, you are going to do today because you are going to pick out his worst game in his career, arguably, and tell me that's the indicator of who he is as a quarterback. So go ahead, do whatever you got to do. Yeah. I'm just telling you, you're doing the exact same thing.
Hawk, and I'll agree with you. I'm not. Tua didn't keep his team in the game. I can't go with that, but he
one
did.
One game at the end on the road. What more can you ask for?
He was so pressured. I cashed tickets on sacks from Houston. I had 3 guys. I had a parlay of 3 guys getting sacks. 3 of their guys, whatever was on thing. I knew they were going to get after him, and then he's going to start having to try to make something happen. He wasn't getting the ball out of his hand. He was trying to extend plays with a bad offensive line. He didn't play well, but the offensive line was terrible. That was ridiculous how fast people were on him yesterday. It was they were turnstiles. I was listening to Solana and Tobin talk about Liam Eichenberg being the best option to move out to tackle. I'm like, Liam Eichenberg is now our savior? We are in trouble today. That's when I put all my bets in after listening to Solana and them talk about it on a pregame.
Yeah, the offensive line obviously didn't do them any favors. And Tyreek Hill did not do Tua any favors yesterday. I'll read you one more tweet from Marcel Louis
Jacques. He had both hands on that last interception, both hands on the ball.
Bring it in and hold on to it. Bring it in and hold on to it. You're getting paid a ton of money to do that. Like, if you want to spread some culpability around on those interceptions, you got to spread some to Tyreek. And Marcel Louis Jacques tweeted this. Texans put vibranium clamps on the Dolphins' top pass catchers today, Tyreek specifically. He'll finish the game, averaging 1.8 yards of separation. He was the target on all 3 of Tua's interceptions. Tua had an 8.9 passer rating when targeting Tyreek. He had an 87.5 passer rating when targeting anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So, as quickly as everyone wants to go, 2 of this and 2 of that and 2 of this and 2 of that. Nah, ain't happening on this show. No, sir.
But Tua should have stayed away from Stingley.
Oh, he stunk yesterday. I'm not telling you he didn't stink. I'm just telling you to take an epically stinky performance and say, that's who Tua is, while ignoring all the other great performances and giving them the context, to explain it away. Well, it wasn't against a good defense and it wasn't on the road. I got it. I'm with you. I'm just telling you, you can't take that performance and say that's indicative of who Tua is, because you have to give it the context of what happened to the offensive line. You're missing 3 guys. What happened to Tyreek Hill? Why isn't he catching that ball? Does Jonnu Smith catch that ball? Because I think he does. So, you know, you can pick his performance apart yesterday. Listen, McDaniel got out-coached. Chris Greer got out-personnelled. And Tua got outplayed. There's no argument on any of those. But to use this one game as the indicator of everything you've been trying to prove, to me, is folly. But go ahead and try to do it, Solana.
I'm not going to do it with Tua. I think the numbers speak for themselves. You want to say one game isn't indicative of a career's worth of a sample size? That's fine. But, Hawk, here's the bottom line. With Tua, and to me yesterday, The game's over. I'm not outraged at Tua. I'm not pinning this loss solely on Tua. This is, without a doubt, a mediocre at best football team, period, end of story. Tua is 1-10 in the last 2 years against playoff teams. He's 6-14 in the McDaniel era against teams with winning records, and Mike McDaniel dropped to 6-17 against teams with winning records, 3-14 on the road. If that is not the epitome of what I've been saying all year, which is this team is good, but they can't beat great teams, then I don't know what is. There's your sample size.
And this
size.
Wasn't even a great team that they were playing.
It
this
wasn't.
Was,
it wasn't.
Know, arguably, maybe a little bit better than average.
And you're right. The context is necessary. Pat Paul, who has barely played this year, a rookie starting left tackle. Jackson Toyota Man on the right side, who has never started a game at tackle in his life. Liam Eikenberg, who probably shouldn't be on an NFL roster, is starting at guard. And you're in a situation where one of your best wide receivers leaves the game. Half the guys you drafted aren't even available to play in this football game. It's not solely on Tua. It was an awful performance. It's not solely on Tua. He has to play better, there's no doubt. This is just not a good football team, like, period. And I don't know how anybody could suggest otherwise when you look at how they've been built, how they're bereft of talent, and just look at the numbers I'm reading you. 6-17 against winning record
We've
teams.
We've seen the roster, though. How are they bereft
they're,
of talent?
They're not bereft
that's
of talent.
That's the part that I find maddening is just to say that, you know, in a vacuum, when you've got Jalen Ramsey and Tyreek Hill and Tua and Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb. I'm talking about high-paid guys.
Yeah.
Like, to say that they're bereft of talent is crazy talk.
They're top-heavy, just like I was telling you.
That's fair.
Early yes. early in the year, and how do good teams become great other than getting Patrick Mahomes, right? How? By building out a balanced roster. Barry Jackson had such a great breakdown in the Herald.
I'm going to read it for you. Yeah. I have it. I'm going to read it for you.
I won't go.
It's a thesis on what has gone wrong.
I won't go into it then, but I will just say, Nico Collins, third round pick. The guy's a stud. The Dolphins have to go overpay for great receivers. And then in the biggest.
Our third round pick was Eric Ezukama.
Correct. And in our biggest games, those guys aren't making plays. What do you do with that?
But I am going to tell you quickly, based on yesterday, I am not moving off my position that Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa are the same quarterback. Tua will one day be spoken about as the greatest Dolphins quarterback in history. And I also think Odell Beckham can still be a difference maker in this offense.
I was watching Get Up this morning, Greeny and them. They were talking about the Detroit Lions. How they're on their fifth and sixth string linebacker. They're on their seventh string nickelback. They're on their fourth string D-tackle. And they're still – they lost to Buffalo. But, hell, it was a 48-42 game. Like, they were competing with the team. That's what I – when I thought about the Dolphins, I was like, yeah, we get one or two guys hurt. It's curtains for us. They're
but is that a mentality thing? Because those guys can't be that much better than our, you know, fill-in pieces. So does that go back to the Dan Campbell versus Mike McDaniel style of coaching?
I think it goes back to the why did we keep Skylar Thompson here for three seasons as the backup? Are you really evaluating these people to see if they can play ball? Or are you falling in love with guys because they're nice dudes and their wife and your wife go to dinner together? Because there's no way that the Detroit Lions fifth-string linebacker should be better than our first-string linebacker. But they are. They're still playing. They're still competing.
Anywho, you have that phone call that called into Tobin and Leroy today?
I do, yeah. On.
Oh, you'd be
phone caller. We don't take callers, but just if we did, today's calls would all sound like this.
Somebody needs to bring me Hawkman, and I want his gallon of McRib sauce on a platter today, bro. Okay? I never want to hear that guy compare Tua to Dan Marino. Not even on the last game at Jayville did Dan Marino play that horrible, bro. So I need a body, bro. The streets need a body. We're not getting a body because the media is protecting the bodies. I need Mark Hoffman and that gallon of McRib sauce. No Diddy, bro. ASAP.
Now, allow me to tell you Dan Marino's stats from that Jacksonville game. 11 of 25 for 95 yards passing with two interceptions and two fumbles. So, caller, shove it up your butt.
Tua did not have a very good game, Hawk.
But Dan Marino had a worse game in that Jacksonville game.
I'm with you on taking somebody's worst moment and making it who they are, but yeah, man.
We have a great prize every day this week. I'm so excited about this concert. Toto, if you watch the Yacht Rock documentary on HBO, they did this deep dive into Toto and whether Toto should be part of the Yacht Rock genre, and they are. Toto is coming to the I Think Financial Amphitheater with Christopher Cross and Men at Work. This is a lineup that if I was crafting out of stone, I wouldn't be smart enough to put these three acts together. I just saw Men at Work in concert at the Broward Center a couple months ago. But anyway, we're going to have tickets every day this week. Toto coming to the I Think Financial Amphitheater next July with Men at Work and Christopher Cross. We'll give away a pair every single day this week. Just keep listening to win. It's a Live Nation show. John Michaels is going to join us today. Adam Beasley from Pro Football Network is going to join us today. He wrote a column yesterday calling for the firing of Chris Greer, saying, Stephen Ross, you have to put your personal friendship aside and do what's right now for the team. This does seem to be a straw that broke the camel's back kind of game for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I get it.
Yes.
It is for me too. I'm goofing around here in the first segment. But yeah, Tua was absolute garbage yesterday. And it played out exactly the way that I get fooled every game. And I'm telling you, they're going to win the next three games. And then we're going to have a scenario where eight teams need to lose and four teams need to tie on the last weekend. And I'm going to think it might happen. And then I'm going to say, you know what? Everything's fine going into next year.
It's not. To Solana's point, I didn't know those stats about, you know, teams with winning records. You were watching that game as a Dolphin fan, knowing that they are better than you the entire game. I know it was an 8-point game, but the entire game, you were like, they're a more dominant football team than we are. That's a bad feeling. Some of those games, the Chiefs games last year, a couple of those Buffalo games, because Buffalo's owned us. One of y'all said yesterday, they're our daddies. But you think in the fourth quarter, you're like, okay, we get the ball back. We might be able to score down by four. Yesterday, I'm watching that game, and I'm like, the Texans, there's no chance we can beat them.
Not when Tua's playing that way. Sometimes he gives you a little bit of a feeling like he's got a little magic up his sleeve. You knew early on this was not Tua's game.
And it was a jailbreak every time the ball was snapped offensively with that O-line. That was sad to see those guys get run around like that.
Quick look at the headlines with Solana, brought to you by Doral Hyundai. At Doral Hyundai, choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. And remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai.
Do you guys want the path to the playoffs still? Like, are we ready for that, or are we just, we don't want to?
All right, give me a little something. All go right, ahead.
Here we go.
Yeah, okay. They're going 3-0, Solana.
The Dolphins.
They are going to go. What do they have? They've got the Jets.
They got the
Niners.
They got the Niners at home on Sunday. And then they're at Cleveland, which is currently a Sunday night football game. And then they finish out their season at the New York Jets.
Which probably won't even be Jameis against the Dolphins because he's stunk it up the last couple of games.
1-2.
What needs to happen if we finish 1-2 to get into the playoffs?
Well, we're not beating the Niners, fellas. I'm just
Dolphins are 2.5 point favorites over San Fran on Sunday.
They're at home, and they're already dogs because it's not 3.
So the Dolphins must win out. The Colts need to lose one game. They host Tennessee, then they're at the Giants, and then they host Jacksonville. So
did you say the Dolphins need to win out? Was that the first thing you said?
The Dolphins must win out, period.
Okay.
They have to win out. And by the way, they're not even going to be a 10-win team, even if they do win out, which is, you know, in itself not good. But the Colts play Tennessee at home at the New York Giants and then versus Jacksonville. They need to lose one of those games against 3 of the worst teams in football. And
yeah,
then,
but if Anthony Richardson is playing, you have a very good chance of losing one of those games.
For sure. And then either one of these two things need to happen. The Chargers need to lose 2 games. They host Denver, at New England, at Las Vegas, or the Broncos have to lose out. They're at the Chargers, at Cincinnati, and home versus Kansas City.
That seems implausible only because Kansas City's not going to have anything to play for. Denver probably will.
Well, maybe not, because the Buffalo Bills yesterday, I said it on the pregame show, we were low-key.
And maybe Mahomes won't even be playing because he's injured. So maybe they can. Oh, no, that would be bad.
No. You want the Bills to still have a chance at the 1 seed, which forces, because they own the tiebreaker over Kansas City.
KC need to win that last week at Denver.
If the Bills win out, Kansas City has to win out to lock up the 1 seed. So they would have to play, if they are going to prioritize, which I imagine they would, having the 1 seed. But the idea of the Broncos losing, those are all 3 very good teams. At the Chargers is a tough game. I think that's Thursday Night Football. At Cincinnati, yesterday, Joe Burrow, another masterclass. Sorry, Hawk. And then home versus Kansas
City. Happened on a worse week for me. I mean, that was like literally the week that I held up to, and Joe Burrow is the same quarterback. For them to put in those disparate performances, not in my favor, by the way, worst case scenario.
Joe can play ball, Hawk.
Luckily, we have Dan Marino's final game in Jacksonville as some sort of, you know, counterbalance.
So the Miami Dolphins, according to the playoff predictor from the New York Times, are down to a 5% chance of making the playoffs. There was some good news this morning. The Dolphins issued a statement regarding Grant Dubose, who Tua sent to the hospital. Quote, after sustaining a head injury in yesterday's game, Grant Dubose remained at a local Houston hospital for evaluation overnight. He has movement in all extremities, and initial tests have revealed positive results. He remains under the care of doctors for continued observation. Mike McDaniel was supposed to speak to the media now. Like, it's supposed to be starting right now, so
about 2:15, about 10 minutes ago, I guess.
Yeah, he's always late. You know, it's McDaniel, always late. So we'll hopefully get some updates on, or if there are any updates on Grant Dubose. Away from the Dolphins, Cam Ward, Xavier Restrepo, named first-team AP All-Americans. Cam did not win the Heisman. Travis Hunter did win the award.
Closer than a lot of people thought, though.
Yes.
It was like one of the closest Heisman ballots in however long. Remember, they had even taken it off the board at Bet Online, and Genty almost won.
No, I was so surprised by that, and I got yelled at Publix the other day about it by the produce guy. But I was surprised because I think if Deion Sanders was not his head coach, I don't think he wins. Deion did such a great marketing job,
right,
with everything around him.
But
if
you play two sides well, it has to count more, don't you think? If you're out there for 90% of the game versus 50% of the game, that has to count more.
No.
Now, if he was mediocre, it's one thing. But he was really good on both sides.
He's an all-American corner. He's a all-conference receiver. But he plays 130 snaps a game, to your point.
The Heat, they'll play the Pistons tonight, 7 p.m., and we got a Stanley Cup Finals rematch versus the losers. Well,
yesterday, as Tua was throwing pick after pick, I just kept thinking to myself, oh, my God, please, please, Jimmy Butler trade in the next 24 hours. Just give me a Jimmy Butler trade in the next 24 hours, and we can forget this nightmare ever happened.
Hey, Kazunga, what's his name? Zuginga?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Kazunga. Get Kazunga. I got all the parties on the phone. I was like mirroring other people's numbers. I have Mickey Arison's number back from my Levitar days. I'm like, I got Kazunga and Kerr on the line. Hold one second.
Kuminga. Kazunga.
Panthers at Oilers tonight, 8:30 p.m. Cats lost 3-0 on Saturday to Calgary. They've been outscored 7-0 in the last two games, which means they're due. Your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. It is partly cloudy. It's been raining in Miami, at least, today on and off. It'll be in the low 60s tonight. Should get even chillier later this week as well. That's your weather.
All right, John Michaels from 680 The Fan in Atlanta. He's going to join us in the next segment.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Oh, no!
Hawk and Crowder.
John Michaels hosts mornings on 680 The Fan in Atlanta. He's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. And before we talk some football with John, reminder, you're doing your holiday shopping. You're looking for someone for Canes or Dolphins merch. You know, wants a little something on their holiday gift list, Canes or Dolphins related, you get to Caneswear in Davie on University Drive or shop online at caneswear.com. So John hosts mornings in Atlanta, but he is a Cane. He is a Dolphins fan. And yesterday, John, I was saying earlier, kind of feels like this Dolphins game is one of those straw that broke the camel's back kind of games for a lot of Dolphins fans regarding Chris Greer, Mike McDaniel, and Tua. And so what do you do with the Dolphins game yesterday? I know you were posting something on your Twitter about the Falcons, like who's most to blame for such and such. And we're kind of there with the Dolphins, too.
Yeah, for the Dolphins, it's Chris Greer, number one, Mike McDaniel, number two. And then Tua, you're going to be with anyway. So Tua's not going anywhere. But the other two, about the time that week 18 comes to an end, both of their sorry butts should be fired. One time, fool me. Okay, shame on you. Second time, fool me. Shame on me. 11th time, fool me. I'm just a dumbass if I'm still watching the product. And that's what you're getting with the Dolphins. Is it now 1-11 over the last 2 years against teams with winning records? Like, there's no more playing that, hey, it was the cold. No, you were in a dome yesterday. Hey, no, it's you're playing against Josh Allen. No, that's not a problem either. You're going against C.J. Stroud. They're just not a good football team, and that's all there is to it. They're soft. I'll call it what it is. You're soft. You're finesse. You've drafted horribly. You've overpaid for veterans who are not giving you what you should. Not only the end of, like the end of the season, because I think their season came to an end for sure yesterday, it's the end of an era, and you're going to see a totally different direction for the Dolphins coming up next year.
But John, do you think with Tua, because to be honest, numbers-wise, and I say, and I'm with you, like I'm not defending this regime at all, but Tua, 70% completion percentage, they get the ball out of his hand. It seems like him and McDaniel do have a good connection. They're top-heavy. We talked about that earlier in the show. If we get two injuries, we know the season's over. We understand the construction of the roster is flawed. But do you think it's smart to take McDaniel away from Tua? Because I think Tua thrives in the McDaniel system.
Crowder, you're not wrong. But, you know, last year he thrived in that system and it was chunk plays. This year it feels like the completion percentage is there because all they throw is screen passes. I mean, Devon Achane seems like every other play, it's we're going to swing it out to him. Hopefully he can make a guy miss. We're going to run a bubble screen to Malik Washington or whomever. I mean, I went through a first half yesterday. I don't think Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle had a single catch. I know Waddle had a target or two, and then he gets rolled up on. I think we're selling Tua short to think that he has to play in this system. I don't know about you guys, but one thing that drives me crazy watching the Dolphins is it seems like at the line of scrimmage, one, Tua's got that 17-page armband flopping around with like a terrible SEC haircut. That thing drives me insane. The second part, with 4 seconds, they're always screaming to get a motion going this way, and it seems like they're snapping the ball as time is expiring on the play clock. I don't know if that's Mike McDaniel being a genius. I don't know if that's Mike McDaniel on the sideline, can't figure out what the hell he wants to run, or Tua can't find page 27, part B, like he's in the movie Back to School, and he goes, I want to break you in 27 parts. Like, it drives me crazy. But my point to that is I think we're selling Tua short to think that he has to have Mike McDaniel. I think he could thrive in anybody's offense. I just think people have figured this offense out, and it's not going anywhere.
John, you live in Atlanta, and I think you follow the NFL a lot closer than we do. Have you seen a dysfunctional offensive line for as long as Miami has had one? In terms of, like, every year it's, the offensive line in Miami. My entire life, John, 20 years, my entire life, that's the conversation. Like, is it like that anywhere else?
It sure doesn't feel like it, Solana. And I can go back. It feels like the last time the Dolphins had a really good offensive line, Richmond Webb and Keith Sims were your offensive line. As a matter of fact, I think Keith Sims coaches my other son Julian's high school football team. I'm 90% sure he does, because I had a Dolphin hoodie on, and he walks up to me and goes, what do you know about the Dolphins? I go, and I think he did tell me Keith Sims is here. But that'll tell you how long ago it's been since the Dolphins have had a good line. The Falcons had problems for a long time on the O-line, until they went out and drafted a couple of guys in the first round, and Chris Lindstrom and Caleb McGarry, and they found they had a left tackle in Jake Matthews. The problem is, it seems like everybody the Dolphins draft is a project, and then they get hurt, and then you invest in Terron Armstead, whose biggest concern getting over here was he was always hurt, and guess what? He's still always hurt. They were starting guys yesterday that were third on the depth chart. A lot of that goes back to the general manager. I think it was Barry Jackson may have tweeted yesterday that no Dolphin from the last 5 drafts had any impact on the game yesterday. Waddle gets hurt. I don't think Chop Robinson recorded a stat. And nobody else from the last 5 draft classes had any impact. That's an indictment on who your general manager is. And you're supposed to build football teams from the inside out. Guess what? I cheer for 2 different teams. One I work for in the Falcons, one I work for in the Dolphins. Both of them built teams from the outside in, and they're both dysfunctional messes.
Maybe you're rooting for the wrong team. Chop Robinson had a good game yesterday, by the way. I would like to make a little qualifier there. Chop Robinson, I believe, was one of the few bright spots in yesterday's Dolphins game. One of the criticisms that I'm seeing, though, John, is Tyreek Hill. There are people now criticizing, writers as well. Adam Beasley tweeted out, Tyreek Hill's stats in the most important game of the season and one of the most important games of his Dolphins career. 7 targets, 2 catches, 36 yards, 3 passes intended for him intercepted. And many writers and fans are starting to suggest that maybe it's time to cut bait with Tyreek, that his production has dropped off and it's not necessarily a function of the quarterback. Maybe it's him.
Yeah, it feels that way. And the ball that was intercepted down the sideline where he has it in his hand, and it almost looks like he just hands it to the defensive back, that's criminal. You cannot do that as arguably the best receiver in football, which I don't think he has that moniker anymore. I know he had it a year ago, but a lot of people passed him by. They should have traded him at the deadline. That was your chance to get out from under Tyreek Hill. I don't see in the offseason where anybody's going to be rushing to go give that guy or give up assets to go get him. But I think at this point, you're going to have to sell anything you can for pennies on the dollar. And unfortunately, 5 years after a rebuild, I think the Dolphins are in line for another rebuild. Yeah, you've got some pieces you could build around. You have your quarterback in Tua. You have a number one receiver in theory in Jaylen Waddle. I really like Jonnu Smith. There's a piece or two on the defense that seem like they're salvageable. But outside of that, maybe Devon Achane, you keep him around as well. Outside of that, I'm not sure what you have on this football team. And I think it's time to really realize that after all of this, you still haven't won a playoff game since, what, 2000, when Jay Fiedler was the quarterback? And I think you beat the Colts in a wild card game. You haven't won a playoff game since then. You're about 27 quarterbacks, 13 head coaches, 5 GMs, and you might be going to a new owner before you win again. Time for the Dolphins to rebuild. Hit that reset button like they do when you're down 21-0 on Madden, and let's just start over.
And John, with that rebuild, because I've heard, you know, we've talked about it now after the loss, everybody, I'm getting texts and tweets and all that stuff. Is it what, like a Vrabel, a Ben Johnson? Like you're hearing the OCDC talk as always. Vrabel's a free agent. You know, he didn't have a job right now. Who, if they do move on from McDaniel, who is the golden goose in your mind that's going to get a job this season? Because there's already, what, three jobs open. There's probably going to be five or six.
It's attractive, Channing. I would love Ben Johnson. I know he decided last year not to take a head coaching job, and it looks like he's even going to get more money out of this and maybe a better situation. But you got to build around what you kind of already have. Well, what you already have is some pieces on the offensive side of the football. But I think you need somebody that's going to be a little bit less finesse. And that's been my biggest indictment on Mike McDaniel. Last year, the offense was a ton of fun, scoring a million points. The problem was every time they played against somebody who put some pushback on the defensive line, they really couldn't run the football. They couldn't throw. The timing was off. They'd come out and bully some of the wide receivers. I think you want somebody that's a little bit more well-rounded. And when I watch Detroit play, they run the football as well as anybody with that two-headed monster. Jared Goff seeming like he has 17 hours to throw the football. I know Amon-Ra St. Brown is a really good number one type receiver. They've got a good tight end in Sam Laporta. I don't know that they have two. They're like two or three deep at wide receiver, but they built the offensive line. You know what? They took Penei Sewell, a guy I would have loved to see the Dolphins take a couple of years ago. Hell, we wish we had him here in Atlanta instead of soft-ass Kyle Pitts, who doesn't seem like he wants to play football any longer. So I think the rebuild starts. You find somebody on the offensive side of the ball that can accentuate what Tua and the pieces you have, and then you build the defense from there.
As long as you mentioned Kyle Pitts and someone close to Crowder's heart, let me transfer over to college football for 1 second. Let's end on a higher note here. Did you see the trophy for the Pop-Tarts Bowl that they unveiled? Because the trophy is a functioning toaster, which I believe makes this Canes Bowl game against Iowa State the most consequential game in the history of Miami football. Agree or disagree, John? This is for a functioning toaster.
I'll be honest. I don't know the last time I've used the toaster in my house. We have a really nice one. We got like one of those $400 toasters as one of our wedding gifts. I looked at my wife and I go, we could have got like season tickets instead of this toaster. But whatever. She ruled the roost. I do think that the trophy is absolutely phenomenal. And I think more than that, you need to go out with a win to show that your culture matters. Obviously, Cam Ward said he's going to play in the Pop-Tart Bowl. It looks like most players, maybe except Xavier Restrepo, are going to play. We don't want to turn into Florida State and have everybody quit and show that we're a bunch of losers. And it would be nice. You know what? Maybe you take a Pop-Tart down there, Hawk, after Miami wins the bowl game, and you actually just go toast one in the Pop-Tart Bowl.
Of course.
Like, do they leave
it's
it out there maybe in the dorm
room? Toaster. Listen, all these trophies. What's the Orange Bowl? It's like a bucket of oranges? No offense to all the Orange Bowl people listen to us. So no offense, Mike Leota or Brady Quinn, anyone who's part of the committee, Gina.
This is Hawks opinion here, Mike.
This is a functioning toaster. I mean, let's talk about steaks. That's more important than a college football playoff, in my opinion.
It's a beautiful bowl, by the way, with a gorgeous selection of beautiful oranges, Hawk. I mean, don't downplay it. Come on.
But it's a bowl with oranges in it. I mean, anyone can replicate that at their house. How many people can replicate a functioning Pop-Tarts toaster? I don't think anyone.
I can't tell you the last time I've actually, we'll have Pop-Tarts in the house because Kane, that's his breakfast of choice. That or toaster strudel. I can't tell you the last time in a Pop-Tart I actually toasted it. Normally, it's just take it out, throw it in the car, and let's go. Have a Diet Dr. Pepper to go along with it or whatever. Maybe a Mountain Dew when I feel really trashy and I feel like getting my sugar intake up. Do you guys still toast the Pop-Tart? Like, is that a thing?
I've never toasted a Pop-Tart. I don't know if Crowder does. I've always eaten them room temperature. But if I had the trophy that had the complete functionality of a pop-up toaster, I might be persuaded to toast said Pop-Tart.
Oh, I 100% would toast it if I have that.
Yeah, John, you know, I worked out since I was 12 years old. I'm a toaster strudel guy. I work too hard to eat a Pop-Tart.
I do not. So I'll eat a Pop-Tart and I'll wash it down with a toaster strudel.
You know, Hey, you know what? One more. I'm glad, John, I'm glad you brought up your son, Kane, and you brought up Cam Ward. If Kane was in the situation Cam Ward is in right now, he's going to be a top three pick in the draft. He's going to the damn Pop-Tart Bowl. Would you advise your son to play in this game?
Just miss all the stuff I told you about the trophy?
If he was in Cam Ward's position, because I love the team and not quitting and all that, bro, right. Cam's about to make a bunch of damn money.
As a dad, Kane would already be preparing for the draft. He'd be working with one of those quarterback gurus, as they like to call them. I would have somebody that's a lot smarter than me getting him ready for everything. I get it. I love the fact that Cam Ward's playing. I'm not going to belittle anything that the young man's doing. But as a dad, I would tell my son, let's get ready to go to the Giants. Let's get ready to go to the Raiders or wherever that may be.
John Michaels, 680 The Fan in Atlanta. We'll speak to you over the holidays, John.
Absolutely.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Oh, no!
Hawk and Crowder.